A few years ago, more years now than I like to think, I was visiting one of my parishioners, and she said to me, "Preacher, you're not going to be one of those type of ministers that stands up in front of little children and drinks water in the pulpit, are you?" I said, "No, ma'am." So I do thank whoever it is that brings the water up here and places it on the altar. It sure is beneficial. This morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we think about the importance of prayer. When I reflected upon this passage, I remember Mr. Ham, who was my geography teacher in Joanna in junior high school, and he was talking about directions, and he used to tell us, he said, "If you've ever read the directions on the box of cereal, it talks about how to open the box and all that and get the vinyl inside of it, the plastic inside of it, open the wax paper, and said, then it tells you to pour." So that's the most important thing, is don't forget to pour the cereal out of the box. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning and we hear Jesus speaking to us about praying, I think the question is, do we follow the directions? Little girl was in school and they had been out of school for a few days, and it had been snowing and icy, and the teacher was rather concerned about the children's studiousness during this time. And so the teacher said to them, "I hope that you did some productive work while you were out. And she looked around the class, and of course everybody was nodding their head affirmingly. And so one little girl raised her hand and she said, "Yes, Susie." She said, "Teacher, I was very productive." And she said, "Really? What did you do?" He says, "I prayed that it would snow some more." As we look at this passage of Scripture, there is nothing that gives us a prelude to why the disciple asked Jesus to teach them to pray. As I think about those that have been in my churches and those individuals that I have known throughout my life to have a very active prayer life, I think about how it felt at times to be in their presence. One of the first experiences I had like this was when I came home from junior high school. It wasn't unusual for evangelists and missionaries to come and preach at my dad's church, and they would stay with us, and it was my joy, and it really was my joy, to give them my bed to sleep in, and I would sleep on the couch in the living room. We lived in a two-up and two-down in Joanna, and I came in from school, and I heard a grown man upstairs crying. His wife was downstairs, and I think at that time I was eating one of those new nutritional meals called a moon pie and a glass of milk. And as I looked at her, I said, "What's Reverend Goodson crying about?" And she said, "Honey, he's not crying. He's praying." I said, "What is he praying about?" "He's praying for souls." I said, "Souls?" So yes, he's praying for souls in Puerto Rico. And that was my first encounter. For you see, Reverend and Mrs. Goodson were missionaries to Puerto Rico. And during the day, he would set aside time to intercede and to pray. I've never forgotten that experience. As I was reading about John Wesley the other day, it was said about him that he was an avid person of prayer. And that when he would come out of his chambers from praying, that his very countenance changed. Terry Teagle, who is a United Methodist clergy person, was with us at St. Simon's Island on a minister's retreat. And he said that he perceives that God has called him for the mission and the ministry primarily of calling United Methodist people and our churches back to prayer. Terry has written several books, and I have some in my library if you'd like to borrow some of them. But in reading one of his books, I remember him saying this, that there is not a single problem. There is not an issue that is facing any church that cannot be fixed through prayer. As we reflect upon the issues that we have in ministry and mission, as we think about our very selves being involved in ministry and mission, I think we could ask the question, how am I praying? What am I praying for God to do? As I thought about this time and this topic with you today, I thought about those songs that have mentioned individuals being in prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from world of care. Some of the old spirituals that I remember singing as a young boy, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right. All right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear. And as I think about those songs and others, I say, Lord, do I know what it means to pray like that? Last night when I came in from visiting and being down in Cottageville, and I had Linda to pull up on the computer that song from O Brother, Where Art Thou? I went down to the river to pray. And I listened as different ones in different groups and sometimes trios and sometimes choir as they sang about, I went down to the river to pray. And I thought about those times that my heart has been hungry to pray. Those times when I've walked into the church during the week and felt that drawing within myself for God to meet with me and for me to meet with Him, and that drawing to the altar to just come in a sanctuary like this, to steel myself in God's presence. When I was a young boy out of high school, I went to a Bible college because I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with my life. And at this Bible college, they had an intensity for encouraging us to have what they call as a prayer life. And one of the things that they would do every year, and still continue it to this day, is after the Christmas holidays, when you're back on campus, classes are suspended, but you are required to be in chapel for a week of prayer. You can imagine how long it takes you to run out of things to say in a week of prayer. I mean, you pray for everybody and everything and everybody that you ever thought of, and you pray for the person beside you and your roommate. And then you find yourself getting quiet. Listening to God. Letting God work within your soul and within your being, and drawing you closer to Him. It is amazing what a privileged week like that will do to you. Two of my good friends went to Monk's Corner. Two of my good Methodist brothers went to Monk's Corner. And they spent a week at Monk's Corner in prayer and reflection. And I went to him and I said, James, I said, tell me what it was like. And he said, Terry, it was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Oh, I just wish that I could do it again. The disciple looked at Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. It is said that in our world that we have languages that are dying out. The languages that are more prevalent today in our shrinking global world, English, Spanish, French, Chinese. In our busy day-to-day world, is prayer one of those languages that we're allowing to die out? Oh, I know we do the rote prayers, and I know we do the printed prayers, but I'm talking about your individual private prayers. Do you take time during your week to pray for your minister, for your choir, for your church, for your Sunday school teacher, for your president? Do you take time to pray? Tom Long, one of the faculties at Emory University and Candler School of Theology, tells this story. He said that they received a message that one of their dear friends had been mugged. And in the mugging, he had been stabbed, and in the stabbing, his heart had been pierced. And he said they went to the communion table with the staff, and they were standing around holding hands and they were praying. and said they were praying their gentle prayers, Lord, be merciful, be with them, Lord, be so, you know, it's one of those nice, gentle prayers, until it came time for the custodian to pray. So the custodian began to say, Lord, you have done it before. Lord, do it again. Lord, you have created miracles before. Lord, create another one. Lord, we don't want this good man to die. And Tom says he began to pray like he grabbed a hold to the coat of God and was saying, Lord, do it again. And Tom says, and to our amazement, the man lived. I was in the hospital, McLeod's in Anderson, and I stood at the foot of the bed of one of my parishioners. And the physician was in there, and I said, Doc, what do you think? And he just shook his head. He said, there's no hope. This lady had been bitten on the foot by a brown recluse spider, and in the process she had gotten sick with a heart condition, and everything in her body was shutting down. And when a nurse saw me pray for her, when I was coming out of the room, I used the solution there to the sanitizer to wash my hands. And the nurse grabbed me and she said, son, you need to come over here. It says, that won't affect what she has. You need to use this other type of soap. And I went home and I expected to hear the message of the worst. I call the family. I touch base with them. But Paula Murph today will come to any of your functions and tell you about how her faith in God brought her through. And about me standing at her bedside and putting the shape of the cross in her forehead, and she looked at me and she said, Terry, I didn't hear you pray, but I felt your touch. Now, as we said with the children this morning, we may not get every prayer answered just the way that we hoped. But the most important thing is to know that God hears us. That God is there. And God wants us to communicate with Him. Are you willing to follow the directions that Jesus gave us here?